you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're in Romans chapter 5. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. This is God's Word. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. The gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This chapter has some of the most wonderful, memorizable verses in all of Scripture. The whole of God's word, Genesis through Revelation, is filled with treasure. It is all God's word. It is all God breathed. But certain passages just, it's like, well, I want to memorize that. Oh, well, I need to memorize that verse too. Well, I need to memorize that verse. Well, maybe I just need to memorize this chapter. I mean, it is just so rich. Therefore, now he's following up on what he said in the first four chapters. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Paul is talking about our position in Christ. We stand in the grace of God on the basis not of what we have done, but on the basis of what he has done. We are not justified on the basis of our works. We are justified on the basis of his grace in Jesus Christ. What he did for us is what puts us at peace with God. And when it talks about we have peace with God, it's not talking about our feelings. It's talking about our position, about our relationship and right standing with God. There was hostility before. We were by nature God's enemies. We were by nature hostile toward God and therefore under God's wrath. It was not because God changed his mind about us and decided to be angry. It was because God said, do this and live. Do this and die. And we chose death over and over and over and over. But it started with Adam's decision. More about that in a moment. The amazing thing is that Christ came to save sinners. So we don't gather together to pretend we're not. The church is not a place for people to come and say, oh, can you believe, did you see this week in the news what those people have done? I think it's just shameful. And let me tell you about my neighbor. Oh, I am so grateful that I am not like my neighbor. Jesus talked about a fellow like that. The Pharisee went up to the temple to pray and he said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I do this and I do this and I do this and I don't do that. Jesus said he was really just talking to himself. God wasn't interested in his prayer. Because his prayer was all about himself. But there was another man who was so ashamed of his sin, he wouldn't even look up. He beat on his chest and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, that man went home justified. Because you see, he wasn't trying to hide his sin. He wasn't trying to pretend he was something he wasn't. But what he was doing was looking to God, hoping for mercy. That's what we need. Jesus is the one who said that. And so Paul builds this beautiful argument, all inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that we would see step by step by step by step that no matter whether we're Jew or Gentile, whether we're extremely religious or whether we really started off on the wrong foot and went downhill from there, regardless of our background, regardless of our experience and performance, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, indeed, we have. And what we deserve is God's wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent his Son to save us. What did it say back in Romans 3:23? Let's see, it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, comma, not period. Verse 24, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. You get it? Yes, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but that's not the end of the sentence even. Much less the end of the paragraph. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we are justified freely through the gift of God's grace in Jesus Christ our Lord, who died on the cross to pay for our sins. And what was the accounting term that Jesus used when he hung on the cross? Tetelestai. Well, what does that mean? It means it is finished. The debt is paid in full. Have you ever seen paid in full on a bill? Isn't it a good feeling? It certifies that they can't come after you for anything else. Paid in full.
In Psalm 145, we read, "One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts." God is pleased when we share his love with the future generations. One meaningful way you can share Yahweh to the next generation is by leaving a gift in your will to Ware's Valley Ranch. The ranch is home and school to children from all over the country who need a safe haven. Please pray about how you might help support these kids and consider joining Legacy 145. Legacy 145 is a growing group of people. People who see this as a meaningful way to thank God for all they have been blessed with. You can learn more about it by going to wvr.org and click on the link for Legacy 145. Again, find the link for Legacy 145 on our website at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are
when Jesus died for us, it was the final payment. He paid in full for everything that we'd done wrong. The Bible says that everything that stood against us was nailed to that cross. He paid in full for our sin. For mine, for yours, for all who believe. So, if you know that, we rejoice. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, we rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. Well, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three gods? No, one. This is God. This is the real God. This is the one true God. And when God poured his love into our hearts, he poured himself into our hearts. God himself comes to live in the believer. The book of Colossians over and over emphasizes it is Christ in you that is the hope of glory. The resurrected Christ takes up his abode in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God, think about that. God living in you. Have you ever had somebody really important in your car? You ever given a ride to somebody? I remember when I was a teenager and I got to drive Corrie ten Boom around. I felt like $1 million because of who my passenger was. Her assistant was also in the car. But I'm driving around and I've got Dame ten Boom. Famous author. Soon to be released film. Great, great experience. Okay, well, let me tell you something. Having a celebrity in your car is wonderful. Having God inside you, that kind of eclipses everything else, doesn't it? Think about it. God himself, the creator of the universe, choosing to live in you. But if that's the case, I think we ought to let him decide where we're going to go and what we're going to do, don't you? God comes to live in us. That is miraculous grace. That is just beyond our ability to comprehend, but it's true. And therefore, we rejoice, even when we're suffering. Even when we're going through difficulty, knowing that God is using all of that in order to make us better and stronger for his glory. When we go through difficulty, it's not because God was distracted and overlooked our situation. It is because God, who alone knows all things, is at work on our behalf. Things don't just happen to us, they happen for us. All of us are puzzled sometimes and wonder, why would God let this happen? Why now? And God doesn't actually feel obligated to tell us. It's as if we're supposed to learn to trust Him even when we don't understand. So, we rejoice. That's what we do. Now, please know that rejoice doesn't mean feel good. It's not what it... We're not commanded anywhere that I know of in the Scriptures to feel good. If anybody runs across that, please bring it to my attention, because then I can come under conviction. But I can't find that anywhere in the Bible where God commands us to feel good. What He does command is to rejoice, regardless of how you're feeling. So, we rejoice. We rejoice. You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die, but we were not in that category. If it was on the basis of our goodness, none of us would get saved. If Jesus only came to die for good people, He wouldn't need to bother. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were His enemies, fighting against Him, running from the truth, we liked our sin, therefore we preferred the darkness. That was our situation. He died for people like us. And Paul says, in light of that, if that's what He did for us when we were still sinners, if He died for us under those circumstances, how much more can we now have confidence that He will save and preserve and change from the inside out those who are His children? Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? If you've been saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. Three tenses of salvation. Justification is what God did for us at the cross. When Jesus died and rose again, it was for our justification. The consequence of God doing that for us is that when we trust in Him, He comes to live inside of us and begins changing us from the inside out. Sanctification is the ongoing work of salvation. It's not first you get saved and then you have to get sanctified. If you're really saved, you're still being saved. And that is called sanctification. Purify my heart. Cleanse me from within. I want to be holy. Lord, I want to be changed from the inside out. If you don't want that, you need to go back and see if you ever really trusted Jesus. Do you love Him more than your sin? Do you want Him to cleanse you and make you like Him? If that is the case, it's because God is at work in you. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus? He said, you cannot even perceive the kingdom of God apart from God giving you new birth by His Spirit. So, God changes us from the inside out. And one day, based on His promises, we know that we're going to stand before Him and we're going to be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That's God's promise. If you are in Christ, then He is in you. And He is changing you. And one day, you will be glorified. Justification, sanctification, glorification. You don't have to remember those words, but you better remember Jesus, because he's our hope. That's just a description of what he does. Since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. In other words, we don't just rejoice in what God has done for us and what God is doing in us. We rejoice in God. Every evening, again last night, we're looking at the sunset and we're rejoicing in the beauty of what God has done. But it doesn't stop there. Even after the sun has gone down, we're rejoicing in the Lord. Great are you, Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is wonderful. Do you adore him? I'm not going to ask my wife to estimate how many times a day I tell her I love her, but it's a lot. Amen? You know why? The reason I say I love you is because I love you. The reason that we praise God is because he's worthy. He's wonderful. He's glorious. That's why we rejoice in the Lord. Then beginning in verse 12, he talks about the first Adam, our original biological parent, and the second Adam. And a lot of people really struggle with this, but let me try and state it as simply as I can. As a consequence of what Adam did, sinning against God, all his descendants experienced death. Not just physical death, but a spiritual separation from God. And then Jesus came on the scene as the second Adam. The first Adam was a type of the second Adam, a pattern of the one to come, it says here. The second Adam lived an absolutely sinless life, and that was essential. He took the punishment we deserve. The only way he could do that was because he never sinned. He never sinned. He lived a perfect life. None of us could save anybody else. We couldn't do it. But he did. We have justification. We stand in what he has done for us. Hallelujah. That's why we rejoice. We rejoice in what he has done. So, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ? So what's this about the law being added so that sin might increase? He says, we were sinning all along. We just didn't know how bad we were. When the law comes on the scene, all of a sudden, we realize we are way out of joint. Okay? And at that point, it's not we suddenly become more sinful. It's that we now realize how desperately we need a Savior. But now that he's justified us, and he's sanctifying us, and we know he's going to glorify us, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's the next chapter.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.pastorwood.org.